this afternoon, we'll be looking at the function of the human brain. We will also be talking about the way the function as well as the dysfunction of the human brain is measured. Now, as you may know, it was in 1929 that electrical activity in the human brain was first discovered. Hans Berger, the German psychiatrist who made the discovery, was despondent to find out, though, that his research was quickly dismissed by many other scientists. The work of Berger was confirmed 3 years later, in 1932, when Edgar Adrian, a Briton, clearly demonstrated that the brain, like the heart, is profuse in its electrical activity. Because of Adrian's work, we know that the electrical impulses in the brain, called brain waves, are a mixture of four different frequencies. Here I should say first of all that by frequency, we're referring to the number of electrical impulses that incur in the brain per second. So as I was saying, there are four types of brain waves. Alpha waves occur in a state of relaxation, while beta waves occur when a person is alert. In addition, delta waves take place during sleep, but they can also occur dysfunctionally when the brain has been severely damaged. Finally, theta waves are a frequency that is somewhere in between alpha and delta. It seems that the purpose of theta waves is to solely facilitate the combination of the other brain waves. The whole notion of brain waves then feeds into the current controversy about death, especially brain death. Of course, this is considered to be very rudimentary, but yet is a very essential question, not only in medicine, but also in law and religion. Some people believe that brain death is characterized by the failure of the cerebral cortex to function. Now, you'll remember that the cerebral cortex is the thinking part of the brain, so under this viewpoint, if a person is no longer physically capable of rational thought, they are considered brain dead. On the other hand, some say that mere damage to the cerebral cortex is not enough. They assert that the brainstem function must also cease before a person can be declared dead, because the cerebral cortex is responsible for other bodily processes. So, for these myriad reasons, it has become very important to measure brain activity. Now, in order to measure brain activity and function, there are various types of equipment which can perform various types of tests. For instance, we have traditionally used CAT and PET scans for this purpose. Okay, can anybody elucidate between CAT and PET scans?
Well, I'll take a stab at it. If I recall correctly, the PET scan works by means of an inert radioactive substance given to a patient, and this allows the doctor to observe the movement of the substance through the brain. As far as the CAT scan, well, they're like an X-ray of the brain, which is then displayed on a computer screen.
Yes, that's right. Now, can anybody talk about the differences between the appearances of CAT and PET scans?
Oh, yeah, sorry. I should have talked about that, too. The PET scan shows up as one image, and that image will have different colors. And each one of the colors displays the pattern of the brain activity. With the CAT scan, that's a cross-section. So, unlike the PET scan, it can be viewed from different angles or positions. And, of course, as far as patients are concerned, the CAT is far less invasive because they don't need to ingest a radioactive substance.
Great. In addition to CAT and PET scan, we now have an MRI scan, which, as you know, works according to the principles of magnetism. The MRI is perhaps the most indispensable of all the various scans due to its ability to map the brain in three dimensions.